Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And a good Monday morning to you and yours. DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Well, it is a strange time, that's for sure, and we're all back and we're ready to roll for the next 3 hours. And the station goes from us to Bart and Hahn to the K-Show to Carlin to Hardesty and then to Golic and Wingo. And we are back with some sports talk and there's some stuff to actually talk about today. And let's make sure we're all safe and sound and doing okay. And we say good morning to one Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave Rothenberg. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Now, we stopped the weather updates last week because it just didn't feel right. I could, I guess, bring those back if you'd like.
No, I don't think we have to bring them back. Now, I certainly don't want to deny you if you want to get into it, but I think we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Before we even get started, I want to make sure that I submit my early nomination for an observations. One, Mike Leach left me feeling the way after the weekend, but I'm sure we'll get into that in the noon hour.
Oh, we will get into that right at 12:30. And Rick, I'm sure you had your fill of television and all sorts of wrestling maneuvers and things this weekend as well.
it was an eventful weekend, Dave. I tried to go with the WrestleMania, watched a bit until Milo decided it was a good idea to get on the top of the couch and give me the old Jimmy Superfly snooker, and then we had to say no to that. So I watched a little bit, but not as much as I would have liked, but. Didn't really feel like a weekend. I'm sure you probably feel the same. But as far as the weather's concerned, I mean, we're supposed to have a couple nice days here. So, I mean, we're trying to spread some joy and some good news in tough times. Maybe you do sprinkle in the weather today.
I mean, I could. I would vote yes.
As a member of the show,
I
would vote
yes. I can do it.
Yes.
I mean, it's lovely out. We'll start there this morning. And then when we get to observations right at 12:30, we'll give the afternoon forecast, which is supposed to be very good. So just to show you, at least in my town, how seriously they're taking it. And we're doing everything we can to being as careful as possible, but there's a park literally right across the street, and Sherry took Alex to throw the lacrosse ball on Saturday, and I took Ben to have some soft toss against the cage, and there was no one else at the park, or people completely spread out. I mean, no one within 100, 200 feet of Ben and I, and we were down there tossing the ball to him, and the police officer came over, full mask and gloves, and got within about 15 feet of us and said, guys, park's closed, you can't be here. So, this, obviously, as we know, is very serious. And, you know, I have a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old. I want to get them out and run them a little bit, but not really allowed to do that at this point, Chris.
No, you're not allowed to do it, but you better be better off being safe than sorry. Yes. And I think that's where we're at right now. By some of the reports that are coming in now, it seems like the social distancing has been working and that they're expecting the apex of the coronavirus, at least in New York City, to happen sooner as opposed to later. So I think that, you know, as long as we can continue to abide by the regulations that the public health officials have put in place, I think it presents a chance for us to get back to some sense of normalcy sooner rather than later. So what we've been doing is working. Let's just continue to be diligent in our attitude towards it, because the last thing that we want to happen is for a spike to go back up and for this to be more of a problem than it already is.
You know what, Dave? You know, Chris and I always see, when we start talking about, you know, players with injuries and everything else, that the training staff, the teams have to protect the players from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you experience in the park. It's like the police officers closing the park down are trying to protect you from you.
Yeah, no, and I wasn't even bothered by it because Ben's initial thought is, Dad, there's no one near us. And I said, yeah, until there is, right? Until another dad and son come and they want to do soft toss 12 feet away from us. And then another two kids come and they don't respect the fact that you're not supposed to be next to each other. And then all of a sudden these kids are talking and they're close. So as upset as I was, because I wanted to get them out and to do some stuff with them, and we were not in any danger and there was no one else there until there was a crowd of people. And then this whole thing starts again. So I understood it. I did, and I had to explain to him why this was the right move. So we went home, and we had a catch. We continued along. But, yeah, I think it is the right thing. And to see the police and everyone being safe and doing the right thing, it does make you feel good.
Yeah, here's the other thing, though, too, I wanted to bring up to you guys, and I want to, you know, see if you guys agree or disagree. So President Trump had the meeting, on Saturday. Yeah, and, you know, there's been differing opinions. You know, you have – you know, some people, and I heard, you know, Jeff Van Gundy say they should just shut it down and cancel the NBA season, NHL being on pause. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen here with this NFL draft, if it's going to be at houses, at, you know, at their homes, or if they're going to be allowed in the facility. Here's my initial thought with this, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. If you're the NHL and you're the NBA, especially with so much still kind of up in the air as far as the virus is concerned, you know, will this thing go away and then all of a sudden come back in the fall? Wouldn't you just plan moving forward to have next season just start a couple months later?
Later, so to, like an extension of this year, regardless of what's going to happen, with not knowing what's going to happen, just start that next season, what, like December, January?
Well, I think the biggest, I mean, part of the concern would be, you know, when's the drop dead date? Like, when do we decide all of a sudden if we try to get these, you know, a couple regular season games, whatever it is, you get the 70 games, whatever it is, and then get the playoffs in, you know, how does that affect the following season? I mean, the reality is, in who knows, you know, what the next week is going to look like. You don't, I mean, week to week, day to day, you don't know what it's going to look like. I would imagine that if you do want to have, you know, people at the arenas, the longer you wait, the better. So why wouldn't you just give yourself as much time as possible to maybe potentially, I mean, again, being super optimistic, just start your upcoming season 2 months later to give you as much time as possible to kind of get this thing figured out, where you may actually have the hope of having people in the arena.
Well, my initial thought is that I think it would be premature to make that determination because we don't know definitively that hockey and that basketball are going to return this summer. We just don't know if that's going to happen. So if I'm one of these commissioners of a sports league, then I would rather have one season compromised, which is the one that we're in right now, as opposed to having two seasons compromised based on what's been going on with the coronavirus.
But it's not going to be compromised. If you plan for it, it's not compromised.
Well, here's the thing. You don't know if the players are going to come back and play the sport right now this summer. And yeah, if they're not going to do that, then why would they need...
But time out. Here's why. You're missing the point. The point is, because if you do want to have a season that looks like a regular season, that would mean you have people in the seats. The longer you wait, the more likely you are to have people in the seats.
If you try to
start your season in October, there still is the possibility that if this thing comes back in the fall, that you're not going to have anyone in the arenas anyway.
Well, that's a possibility, but President Trump said over the conference call this weekend that he anticipates that football will be able to start on time late August, early September with fans in stadiums. So if football is able to start on time with spectators in the actual venues, then why wouldn't the other sports be able to do it?
Well, Trump's being President Trump, I'll give him credit. I mean, he's trying to be optimistic. No one knows that.
No one knows anything, Rick, but that's what I'm saying. I think it's premature to make that determination.
Chris, if you plan for the worst and all of a sudden things change, at least it'll be planned. You're not going to compromise having any less games or anything else. All you're doing is, I mean, ultimately just checking arena availability and pushing it back.
Okay, we agree to disagree on this one, bro. It's cool.
Well, here's the other thing, though, too. How many people are going to want to spend money on tickets? The longer you wait, the more likely you are to people actually have, I mean, the economy gets back, people have the money to go forward to spend money and buy tickets to go watch games. I mean, how many people are going to be going out of their way to spend $100 on a ticket once this thing is figured out?
Yeah, I don't know. The people
I think a lot of people would be willing to just because they've been in the house for months and months on end. I think people want to get out and want to be entertained. And, of course, they're going to turn to sports more often than not. So, I think it's an interesting proposal. But I guess I wouldn't feel right about them making a decision about that until they make a decision on what's going to happen with the season that we're currently in.
I just think you give yourself the best opportunity to try to get both seasons, to try to get the rest of this season in and playoffs and award a champion and not have it affect the upcoming season is just to push the upcoming season back. I mean, basketball wants to start on Christmas Day anyway. Why fight it? I mean, what does the NHL have to lose? You're competing against the NFL. If fingers crossed things go according to plan and everyone's optimism turns out to be, you know, correct and the NFL season starts, that's great. But I mean, with the NHL going up against the NBA, the NHL going up against the NFL, the NBA going up against the NFL, they lose anyway. I don't think you lose if you just push it back a couple months or a month, whatever it is, and give yourself as much time as possible to try to figure this thing out.
It's certainly on the table. I mean, anything is on the table. And like we've said, there's no right or there's no wrong. Now, I think it's very optimistic. The president says this weekend that he anticipates August, September, full 80,000 seat stadiums. Because honestly, I don't know that people are going to want to rush back for multiple reasons. I don't know that they're going to be able to afford it right off the bat. I mean, we're spoiled. We have the advantage of we want to go to a game. We can either get credentialed or we can go into the ESPN suite or wind up typically with free tickets. The amount of money it costs to take a family of four to a game is, I mean, God knows how much, right? If you go to a basketball game, you're probably looking all in at food and parking and transportation and everything. $750, $500, something in that range, right? $100 a ticket plus, and a jersey and all that stuff. So I don't know. I'm interested. I'm curious to see when it does come back. If everyone's thought of we're going to have 80,000 people in stadiums, if that's realistic or not.
Well, Dave, I think a lot of that is contingent on, you know, how they developed the rapid test in trying to make sure that people understand their status as they move forward, as they try to restart the economy and get folks back to work. I think that's going to be a huge part of it. Brian Windhorst was on Good Up this morning, and he talked about the NBA getting back to business as usual once we have the ability to test the athletes, and that doesn't take away from testing for other folks that are more in need of knowing their status. So I just think that that's ultimately what's going to hold up everything getting back to normal as far as the sports world is concerned, them being able to test and have the results back to folks in a quicker fashion.
Yeah, I think between the tests and finding out some kind of, I don't think it necessarily needs to be a vaccine, but some kind of treatment to make sure that if one of these athletes do test positive at any point, it becomes treatable. It's not life-threatening. Like, you're not running the risk that if, God forbid, you get this, it could be life-threatening. At a certain point, it has to be, you know, how we as athletes view the flu in sports. Like, I mean, it's going to go through a team. You know, one or two guys may miss time because they react differently to the flu, and there's other ones. I mean, Chris and I always talk about that some of our best games are when, you know, you're hurt or sick just because you find a way to get through it, and you're really just thinking about trying to get through it as opposed to what you actually have to do.
All right, guys, there's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Now, did you give any time to WrestleMania this weekend, Rick?
Yeah, I did. I dabbled early on, and then it was just, it's too much for, I mean, to have, you know, my son, I mean, anyone that has boys that, you know, all of a sudden he sees that on television and then he wants to, I mean, immediately wants to wrestle. So I took a shot to the face off the top rope, and that was, we had to go to a movie. That was, it was too much. I can't trust him. He's not ready yet.
Then when you say go to a movie, what did that mean? Like go to another room and just rent a movie?
No, we just had to, on the fly, we had to adjust. We had to go, we went, I had to shut that down, and then we had to go to, we watched, Sonic the Hedgehog. So we watched Sonic.
So he's into the wrestling. He likes the wrestling. He'd appreciate being able to watch the wrestling, but he can't have the conversation of, Dad, I will not jump on you. Like, after he gave you the flying arm, right, or the flying forearm, you couldn't say,
it was a snooker, yeah.
You couldn't say, Milo, listen, if you do that again, we're done. Like, that was it. It was one mess up and it was over to Sonic.
No, that was it. No, because it was the one extreme mess up. But I mean, he's sitting there like acting it out, and his poor sister. I mean, we had to tell him a couple different times, like, hey, she's 3 years old. I mean, relax a little bit. And then he snookered me, and then that was, now all he wants to do is wrestle. So uh-huh. I mean, I've created a monster. Like anything physical he wants to do, and at his size, like he doesn't really. I mean, he's probably 55 pounds, and it's just there's no. There's no let up. Like, he doesn't realize it's fake. So he just, I mean, he buried me. But, I mean, at some point he'll be ready. He's just not, at this moment, he's not ready.
There yet. So, from what you saw, was it a success? Did you enjoy it? I'm sure it didn't look the same with nobody there, but, I mean, I guess people enjoyed the weekend of wrestling, right? Saturday and Sunday?
I give him tons of credit, man. I mean, especially wrestling. I mean, when you try to create that energy and, I mean, you've created a character, and a lot of the character that, you know, you've created with the promos and everything else is playing to the crowd one way or the other. You're the good guy or you're the heel. And that can't be easy. You know what I mean? That can't be easy. And people underestimate. Like, I've taken a bump in the ring. It does not feel good. So, I mean, you're in WrestleMania, so you're going to do, I mean, whatever it takes, and it's going to be extreme, and you're going to take, I mean, you're going all out. It's, it's what you gear up for. So I give them tons of credit. And I mean, it was pre-taped, but you didn't know what was going to happen. So it was essentially live. And, we talked about this last week. I can't watch any more old games. Like I'm past, I can't do it anymore. I'm past.
You're over it.
I can't. I'm over it. I can't do it anymore, man. I try to watch some of that 2K stuff. That was ridiculous. I didn't realize there was only two. I mean, there's only been two guys that have played with their own teams.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you win by 10 plus. I mean, what are they, 4-0 if you're on the Milwaukee Bucks?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to watch that. I dabbled, but I like the fact that the WrestleMania was, I guess, live because you didn't know the result. But, I give those guys tons and tons of credit for amping it up the way they amped it up.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I didn't watch a minute of WrestleMania live, but I did check back in for the highlights. And the one thing that I will say is WWE did a great job of taking advantage of it being in a studio setting. Because you saw studio elements. It was something that was produced, like the cutaway shots when they had the entrance for Becky Lynch and some of the things that they incorporated in John Cena in his appearance. I just thought that they did a really good job of producing the event and adding some entertainment elements that they otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to do had it been a live event with 80,000 fans in the venue. So good on WWE. I mean, apparently everybody that's a wrestling fan loved it. So I thought it was a positive. I thought it was a win for them. And Rob Gronkowski being a host of it, I think that added something to it too. So I thought it was well done.
Now I don't watch it at all. I have absolutely no interest. And I used to really like wrestling, but I think the thing for me that's nice is this potentially take wrestling, you know, and put it to the side. Is this potentially an avenue of how we can get back sooner rather than later, right? Like, can we do this with baseball? Can we do this with basketball? Can we do this with hockey where they have barren arenas and the players are there and they test them appropriately and they have the camera guys in place and they put the sport on? So for me, Rick, this wasn't really a, you know, is this the way I'm going to enjoy wrestling or not enjoy wrestling moving forward? It was, is this an avenue to have sports come back quicker than otherwise? So that's why I was kind of interested in this weekend.
I think it was a good test, and I think it's forced all the different, I mean, it's forced us as parents. I think it's forced, you know, the WWE and we'll see what happens with UFC, but I just think sports leagues in general. I mean, you got to be creative. I mean, you got to be willing to be flexible and try some things that normally you wouldn't try. And I mean, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I have a pretty good idea of what you could do. I think the players, especially the NHL, would be willing to at least try it. But I think you got to get past the optics and in the shock of testing professional athletes when there's so many people out there right now that are really struggling with this and that need testing more than the athletes do. That's the big holdup, I think. If that wasn't a holdup, I think you could probably have guys, you know, quarantined to a certain area in one arena and mm-hmm. play games. But I think that if they're going to do it, that's going to be how they're going to do it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go 800-919-3776. Of course, we're all here to talk to you guys and conversate. Let's do that with Billy and Roslyn. Billy, lead us off on a Monday on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, I want to just address what I think Rick is saying about delaying the start. To the virus, if you don't have a vaccine, you can't have guys, even if you have testing, you can't have guys pounding up against each other, and then like all this, you know, whatever mucus or anything that comes out in a normal case of getting slammed against the boards or crushing each other at the line or doing anything you do in sports, and be able to survive this thing, you know, and it would be devastating because I'm sure someone slips by without a positive test and then the thing spreads and everybody gets it again. You got to have a vaccine. Until we get the vaccine out.
But, Billy, you're not going to have a vaccine for a year to a year and a half.
Well, that, you know, it was a year and a half, like 2 months ago or 3 months ago when they started working on it. There's already, like, Johnson & Johnson, like, has a billion doses of a vaccine. They're waiting for the FDA to approve. And there are four or five other small biotech companies. That's who does these things, the smaller biotechs, that are working on it that have, they think they have like vaccines. Their science is better and better all the time. And with the pressure and everything else, all the testing and all the universities involved, it's very important we get this done. Obviously, I think we're going to have a little sooner, but now we're talking about 9 months to 12 months, not a year and a half. We
all All right, but Billy, even in best case scenario, if it's 9 months from now, I just maybe I'm wrong. I don't see leagues waiting 9 months from where we are right now to start up again.
No, you're talking about – here's the thing, though. But here's the thing, though. I mean, 9 months from now, you're talking about – I mean, that's no college football, and it's no NFL. I mean, I can't see that – I can't see that being the case. I don't think it's going to have to be a vaccine. It's going to be guys will be tested, and then there has to be some kind of treatment, and it can't be one guy gets it and the entire team gets shut down. Otherwise, you can't do it. You can't get it started. You won't be able to maintain it.
No, you're right. You won't be able to maintain it. But I think the first thing that has to happen is that the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball have to make a decision on what's going to happen right now with the current season. And then once they make that decision, then we can start talking about when they're going to start the following season and so on and so forth. I don't think you can make any determination until you figure out when you're going to be able to get these guys back playing, if you're going to be able to get these guys back playing for the current season.
Yeah, I think the only way to do it would be to, and the players are going to have to agree to this, and I know there's been some, you know, some guys that have mentioned being away from their families and everything else. If you're going to want to get this season in, if you're the NBA and you're the NHL, you're going to have to find a way to find a couple venues, wherever it is, a one central location in each city where all the teams stay, and then you're going to have everybody tested. Like, the second you get off the bus and you're tested, if you're negative, okay, you're in, and then you know, continue to take everyone's temperature and everything else to try to keep it as safe as possible. It's the only way to do it at this point.
Yeah. That's probably the safest way. And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think there's any way we're going to be seeing any of these games in front of fans, like NBA, no. NHL over the summer. No. I don't know that you're going to see the rest of the seasons, if and when they start up, with fans for the rest
Dave,
of
Dave, you
them.
Can stop the sentence right at, I don't know if we're going to see any of the rest of the season. You can stop the sentence right there. I don't know if it's going to come back. And you saw Jeff Van Gundy had some comments about the NBA saying that they should already cancel the season by now, just because the logistics in terms of being able to start this thing back up and maintain the health of all involved would be so difficult. You know, it's just, it's a lot of moving parts, and without any hard evidence that could support the NBA enacting a policy to allow the players to come back, I just think that you have to err on the side of caution. And the most cautious approach would be to cancel the rest of the season in the postseason. I know fans wouldn't like it, but based on where we're at with this pandemic, that might be a step that's necessary.
I think that both leagues, I think especially the NA, I mean, I think both leagues, I mean, financially, what it should all comes down to the finances of it, are incentivized to try to get as many games in as possible with this season, and try to award championship.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal. I think that's what everyone would want. And the thing is, there's no playbook for this. You know, there's no, well, this is what we did back 20 years ago, 30 years ago. This is how we typically handle this. I mean, there is nothing that you can really look at and say, this is, so I think it's just kind of, you have to go along as we move along here and just decide on the fly. And if you need to make decisions months in advance, your back's to the wall, Rick, and you really can't make decisions months in advance right now.
No, I don't think you can. I mean, the situation is fluid. I think that, you know, with the president sitting down with the heads of these leagues, I think he realizes, and if you listen to him afterwards, I mean, there is a bit of urgency as far as trying to get some sports on television. I mean, I said this Friday, the main focus now has to be the physical health of everybody. But I mean, for those people that don't have the virus and have followed the rules and have been quarantined, I mean, the mental health part, you know, starts to kick in. And I think it would be, I mean, it would be nice if they can do it somehow, some way, to get, you know, NHL games and NBA games on television, even if it's in front of empty arenas.
No, I think everybody wants to get sports back. I mean, that's why President Trump had the conference call with all the sports commissioners this weekend. You see how serious it is if the president, who's dealing with a pandemic, is organizing something along these lines to keep all of the commissioners informed, because he recognizes the value of having sports back as far as the American psyche is concerned, but also as far as stimulating the economy and all the jobs that are related to hosting these events. So I think that that's what everybody wants. But just in terms of being able to protect the athletes and the people that support the athletes within the organization, there are a lot of moving parts, and trying to keep everybody insulated for a period of time that'll allow you to continue the season and finish the season and crown a champion. I just think that that's aggressive and that's ambitious at this point. Now, we could be at a different point 2 or 3 weeks from now, but I think that when we start talking about live sporting events, we're a ways away from that happening.
Yeah, I think we are. Now, here's the question for you, Rick. What happens if and when they do decide, you know, we're going to come back? July 4th weekend, baseball is going to start, and you have potentially a superstar player say, you know what, I'm not comfortable. I would rather be with my family. I don't want to come back. I don't want to go lock myself in Las Vegas for 2 months and play on small, tiny fields, or, you know, with no one there, or I'm just not comfortable doing it. I don't want to go. I mean, you have to figure there's going to be some guys who have that tact, wouldn't you?
I would imagine. I mean, you already heard a couple guys. I mean, you heard LeBron James talk about it. But, I mean, if that's their decision, that's going to be their decision. I don't think one, two, three, whatever it ends up being, you know, players having that opinion can hold up the sport. I mean, if they find a way to make it safe and you have to be inconvenienced for a couple months where, you know, you show up to wherever it is, could be Vegas, and you get tested before you get, you know, into wherever you're staying, and then you get tested once a day or whatever it is. I mean, if you want to get games on, that's what it's going to take. So if some guys don't want to do it, then, you know, those guys will have the option to not do it.
All right, I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go, the bedroom, the living room, anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. So you'll be happy to know I watched 3 episodes of The Tiger King, and my goal is to finish off the entirety of the show later today. Those are some interesting people, I will tell you that. I mean, oh my God. And every episode is more bizarre than the one you've just watched.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're on what, episode 4 and 5, and then 6 and 7 are all right, but 4 and 5, I mean, yeah, you're getting into the meat of it. I mean,
now, did you hear they're going to throw another one out there?
I did hear that.
Have enough footage that they can make I guess it would be an 8th episode. I think there's 7. They can make an 8th episode.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts? I mean, now you're at the point. Tell me where you finished off, because I don't want to ruin it for you.
And I don't know what the right thing to do is. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now that haven't seen it. Do we want to analyze it and dissect it? Because I don't want to be like Kay, where I just give all the plot and everything away.
We want to hear your take on it. Rick and I have finished it, so we want to see where what your slant is based on where you're at in the series.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll discuss it for 3 minutes, and then we'll break. So if you are of the mindset of, oh, my God, I haven't seen it, they're going to ruin it for me, just turn your radio off or go do something else for 3 minutes and then come back. First of all right, we'll do that. 3, 2, 1. All right, she clearly had her husband killed, right? I think that's obvious. No?
Absolutely,
dude. I mean, she fed the husband to the Tigers. Clearly, that's
so you
what
agree
happened.
With O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, I guess so. I get not on a lot, though. I agree with O.J. Simpson, but clearly she, and what a foolproof way to go about killing someone, right? You put barbecue sauce all over them, you pushed them into the cage with all these tigers, and then you never see or hear from them again. But clearly she did that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the way that they set it up, too. I mean, that he was going to go down to Costa Rica and he was going to take the cats and the money, and then I mean, between that and her dad and the fact that her brother works for the sheriff department, I mean, the whole thing just lined up perfectly for her to do it.
Yeah, she absolutely did it.
There's not a shred of doubt in my mind that lady's husband is Tiger Sashimi right now.
he probably is Sashimi right now, I would have to think.
And the new husband's scared to death. Like, the new husband, I mean, he is, whatever she says goes. Like, he's like, oh yeah, you want me to do that? No problem.
Early on,
can you blame the guy, Rick?
No chance.
Now, early on, and like, I thought she was a sympathetic figure. Like Joe Exotic seemed like such a lunatic and she seemed like she was trying to do right by people. And then the more you learn about her, the crazier she is. Joe Exotic looks a little more normal. His husband might be the most crazy guy I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this is how are you allowed
which
to
husband?
Have,
which husband, by the way, Dave?
Oh, yeah. The original husband, I guess.
The original the husband, because there were three of them in the show.
I only have two husbands at this point. I have the 19-year-old with the mustache, and I have the first husband who has 4 to 6 teeth in totality is what I'm working with. But I can't believe that I don't understand. You're allowed to just start having huge like animal exhibits wherever you live?
Yeah, that was the interesting part. I mean, I guess there are some rules. Like, you're not supposed to breed them, and there are certain things that Joe Exotic and I think Doc Antle are doing that are probably illegal. I mean, Doc Antle he got raided. So
and he's crazy, I mean, too.
Yeah, he is. He may be the craziest, the sneaky craziest with how he runs his facility with the harem and everything else.
Yeah, everybody that works for him is his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how Bhagavan to you, by the way, please.
Lord, Doc Antle. Got it.
Do you like when he rides around the elephant?
Oh, my God. And I understand why people were not thrilled with Shaquille O'Neal, by the way.
Did he not say he bought two tigers?
He did, absolutely.
Thank you.
100%.
I didn't realize how many people, they start giving you the numbers. I didn't realize how many people own exotic cats. I don't understand. That doesn't seem like a smart idea.
Yeah, because at the end of it, right, Rick, they said that there are 4,000 in the wild, but there are 5,000 to 10,000 that live in America in captivity?
Yeah, there's more in captivity than there are in the wild.
Well, every other story he does in observations is like they were called for a dispute over Nintendo, and they opened up the closet, and there were like eight you know, lions in there. So, yeah.
I know the alligators in Ohio is a thing now.
People are nuts. I mean, the more I watch these things, the more people are crazy. Absolutely insane.
Like, what are the chances, in all honesty? I mean, this is just me, but I'm sure you guys may feel the same way. If I'm down there working for Joe Exotic, and what happens in the start of episode 2 where the lady that works there
gets her arm taken, yes.
Would you ever, I mean, how could, I would never ever, I mean, that would be it. It's a wrap.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to one of those cases
again. And she's back to work a week later. Armless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right back in there.
Yeah.
There is zero chance.
And did you hear when they're like, well, how much do you typically get paid? Like, oh, about $125 a month. A month.
Yeah, it's crazy, Dave. Oh. I mean, you can't script this kind of crap.
I don't think the cost of living where they're at is the cost of living where we're at.
Well, no. Yeah,
a little different.
It's not, but they're sleeping in roach-infested. Oh, that show is mind-boggling. Today on ESPN Daily, the Men's College Basketball Championship was supposed to be, this is sad, tonight, following the women's on Sunday. We'll never know who would have won, but we can say who should have, thanks to ESPN and 538. That's ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. So, Canty, you get another year of Virginia's national champions.
There we go, Dave. Reigning defending for 2 years straight.
That's right.
There we go. I love it.
That's right. I guess Duke of 91-92, the last team that was able to say that.
How about that?
There you go. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Bob in Long Island. Bob, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, okay. I got a question. I was going to specifically talk about Major League Baseball, but it applies to all sports. Let's go to baseball. The season is not going to be played. Well, maybe it'll be played at the end, but the point is the players get paid. How does this work? How do the owners fork over the money if they're not receiving income from the attendance? You know?
Yeah, the players get paid to a certain date, and then they reassess what's happening.
It has nothing to do with insurance. The insurance doesn't cover it.
The insurance, as far as
is there insurance on this?
Well, no. In other words, the insurance that if a player gets injured, he gets paid. If the insurance companies are employed by the clubs to take care of this. That doesn't. It's not covered under the insurance.
Well, no. I can't imagine it would be.
No, so teams don't have insurance on every single player.
So, in other words, if you lose the whole season, and a player is earning $6 million a year, what does he get paid?
He doesn't get paid $6 million. So here's how it works. So, I mean, if this is going to be one of my stories today for the positive parts of Nobservations. So what Justin Verlander is doing.
Which is great.
Yeah, so he's part of a group of players, and it's dictated by, you know, how much you make and everything else. But he's going to get paid almost $5,000 a day for 60 days. That's how the pay scale is working right now. So he'll get paid for 60 days. It ends up being $286,500. That's what he's guaranteed to get to the at this moment. And he's donating all that, which is great.
Yeah, every penny of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is
great. Yeah. Yeah, and everybody that does that, it does make a difference. So
yeah, so the players decide. So the players decided they were willing to, when they had these conversations, so union with the league, is that the players would be flexible with how much they were going to get paid for the season, depending on, you know, games lost and everything else, as long as they would get service time for the season. So, like, Mookie Betts will be a free, like, he'll get credit, so he'll be a free agent.
Right. So, in theory, if there's no baseball season, Mookie Betts could never play for the LA Dodgers.
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct.
Correct. And then the Mets pitching staff, the Mets will be a complete, I mean, I was really
Stroman would be gone, yeah.
Yeah, Stroman would be gone. Mats would be a closer year. I mean, a year closer to free agency. Syndergaard would be a year closer to free agency.
So essentially, you mortgaged a few assets that you did have in your farm system for a season that never happened.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Terrible. Let's go to Train in the Truck. Train, you're on 98.7.
Hey guys, hope you all safe and well. Chris, fellow Bronx Laker fan.
My man, stand up.
It's funny because I just wanted to say real quick that, by the way, David, sardine oil, not barbecue sauce.
sardine oil, yeah.
Yeah, sardine oil. Me and my wife get into it all the time, but it's you know, it's friendly, but she gets on me, Chris, because she goes, oh, you mad because LeBron's not going to get a title this year. He'll never get a title now because she's a Warriors fan. Oh, my God, I got to hear this all the time. Chris, what do you suggest I say? I have no comeback for that.
I don't know if we do have a pushback from that. And Stephen A. made some comments late last week. He said if LeBron James didn't get a title this year for whatever reason, then it probably wasn't going to happen in his tenure as a Laker. Now, I'm not going to go that far, but one does start to wonder when LeBron is going to fall off the proverbial cliff. I mean, it's year 17. At some point, the production is going to go down. Now, he was having a career year distributing the basketball, but LeBron as the most dominant force in the NBA, you wonder how long he can hang on to that title.
Well, I don't know how much. Here's the other question, though. I mean, as far as faces of sports, LeBron James, I mean, he's at the top of that list. I mean, he's the face of the NBA. I mean, you think he thinks about that? And I know he had said, you know, being away from his family, but does he push to try to get this thing going?
Yeah,
so we can try to capitalize on the championship.
Yeah, I would think so. Don't you? I mean, listen, I'm of the mindset with him that I am with like Brady, that until I see him not at that level, but at some point it's going to happen. And you know, the physical freak that he is to be able to play at this level is really remarkable. So I would think that now I don't know that he can push it through, but I would think if they come to him and say, what are your thoughts on this, that he would want to get this season underway and potentially played. Wouldn't you think so?
Well, I'd imagine. I mean, right now, I mean, they're probably the best team in the West. And then you got your Clippers, obviously, and then you got Milwaukee in the East. But, I mean, if next season starts and it's a full NBA season like normal, this would be as rested as he'll ever be headed into a playoffs.
Yeah.
Ever. Again.
Yeah, he wouldn't have played for 6 months.
So, I mean, I think if I were him, I mean, I would probably want to play, yeah. You can't afford to waste opportunities. Like Chris said, he's in year 17.
Right. And you have the one seed pretty much locked away. And you could.
No, it's locked away. I mean, if they come back, they're only going to play a hand. I mean, they.
Right.
And they're going to be the one seed if they play a playoffs. Yeah.
Right.
They'll be the one seed in the West.
Right.
Yeah.
So the one seed is locked away. So even when they come back, if they came back for an abbreviated end to the regular season, you play him 25, 30 minutes a night, if that, and have him at maximum health when you start the postseason and you give your best shot. But I would think he'd want to come back and try for that next championship.
Yeah.
It would be exciting, too. I mean, Chris, don't you think it'd be exciting? I know you mentioned this early on. This is probably a couple of weeks back that you have, you know, all these teams healthy, all these teams rested. But it would really give you a, I mean, if they played a couple of games, like say you played a handful of games and everyone was kind of back, you know, back to where they needed to be, this would really be a great test of the best team winning a championship because everyone would be at full strength.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. Now, I know LeBron had some comments about folks that were speculating that he would be in better position because he'd be rested. He'd prefer to play straight through. You know, he doesn't like the fact that he's going to have to tell his body to do something at a time of the year where he's usually not competing. But, I mean, everybody's got to make an adjustment just based on what we're dealing with. But if LeBron James gets into the playoffs and he's healthy and everybody there for the Lakers is available, I would have a hard time seeing anybody beat him because he started this season with something on his mind. Remember the tweet that he put out over last summer when he said a lot of people have been playing with the throne. LeBron James has been hearing all the noise about James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kevin Durant. And I think this season he set out to prove that he is still the best player in the world and it's not that close. And based on what we saw three quarters of the way through, you'd have to admit that he was probably right in his belief.
He's right there. I mean,
he's definitely the best player
in the world, Dave.
He's definitely the best point guard.
You think he's better than Giannis?
Yes, he's the best player in the world, still.
Mm. He's more complete than Giannis. I agree with that.
I'd agree with that. But Giannis is he's a special player.
Yeah, but you've seen Giannis get shut down in the playoffs. I guess LeBron has been shut down. I mean,
no, LeBron is bad. Listen,
no,
LeBron
he wasn't shut down even when Andre Iguodala won MVP for shutting him down. He wasn't shut down in that series.
Well, I'm saying early on in his career. I mean, that the Dallas Mavericks series was not a great series for him.
Yeah, but how long ago was that?
It was that 2009?
Yeah, I mean, okay, forever.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, again, Giannis is still early in his career, though, too. I'm saying, I mean, it happened to LeBron. It has happened. So this would have been a good test. It happened to Giannis last year. I mean, is it going to happen again this year? I'm not disagreeing with you. I still think that LeBron James is the best player. I mean, he's the most, I mean, he's a freak what he's been able to do. I mean, he's a 6'9", 265-pound point guard.
Yeah, he leads
he's the best
NBA.
Point guard in the league.
I really believe that he could say, I want to do this and do whatever it is. If he wanted to lead the league in scoring, assists, whatever it is that he wanted to do, he could do it.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. The Open Championship has been called off for July. So that's another one that we can, unfortunately, cross off the list here. So we never know when it's going to happen, but at some point between 10 and 1, our dear friend Andy from Merrick will call with a personalized trivia question for each of us. Andy, happy Monday. We welcome you aboard on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're hanging in there, Andy. How are you?
I'm hanging in the best I can. So for the big man, Chris, question about number 99.
All right.
You wore that jersey proudly from 2009 until 2012. Can you tell me who wore it in 2013?
Ooh. Who wore 99 for the Giants in 2013?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, that is a great
question.
And, you got me, Andy. You got me.
You want to help him?
I'm thinking.
Here's the beauty of Dave, while Dave is thinking about this, is that Dave will come up with this. He'll get the answer right.
I don't know that
because
I'm going to.
He ceases to amaze me. And yet, when Chris brings up the fact, or Dave brings up the fact, that Virginia now will have the championship
Florida,
for 2 years. Yeah, you just jump right over Al Horford's Florida team.
And I was at the one where they beat UCLA. So it's a terrible job by me. I admit that.
Steve, you're not focused.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I got a lot on my mind. All I can think of is Diassi, but I don't think that's the right answer.
No. It's a defensive lineman.
You have the answer now?
I have the answer, but I'm going to give Andy the honors because he's the one that proposed the question.
Hmm. So it's a defensive lineman.
Just let Andy tell you, Dave. You don't know it.
All right. Go ahead, Andy.
Dave, if I told you he went to Central Michigan University, a Chippewa, would that help you?
I don't think so.
Cullen Jenkins.
Who? Cullen Jenkins?
Yes.
Hmm. Former Eagle, right?
Former a lot of things.
Yeah. All right.
I remember with Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
That's where he made his
all
name.
All over the place. That was a good one.
Rick.
Yes, sir.
Hockey question.
Here we go.
There's only been a handful of defensemen who have breached the 1,000-point level. Can you tell me who the first NHL defenseman was to reach 1,000 career points?
First NHL defenseman with 1,000 career points. Oh, my goodness gracious. The first one ever with 1,000 points. I'm going to go with... I am going to go with one former Islander, Dennis Potvin.
You got it.
Nice.
Yes.
Good job.
If I didn't get that right, I was going to have to leave.
That's a tough question.
No, I know, but that's, I mean... He's an Islander, man.
Yeah,
come on.
No, it was a good job by you.
Captain,
all right,
number
Andy.
Five. All right, Dave, we're going to come up with an NFL draft question for you, okay, since the draft is just a couple weeks away.
2 weeks and 3 days, but who's counting?
We're not counting.
Yeah.
This year, the Miami Dolphins have 3 first-round picks. In NFL history, there's only been one time where a team had 4 first-round picks.
The Jets.
Layup, Andy. That's a layup.
4 players from that 2000 draft.
Oh, I think Anthony Becht was there.
Yes.
That's one.
Was Pennington there?
This is
That's
easy.
Two.
Abraham?
That's 3.
And Sean Ellis.
You got it.
All right. Thank you. Thank
Great
you.
Great job,
you.
Guys.
All right, we did well. We went 2-1. It's a good job by us.
That's amazing to me that you can come up with that. And it's not even your team. That's what amazes me.
Well, that was clearly the easier of the three questions, no, Rick?
But it's a four-parter.
No, I mean, I guess, well, no, for, I mean, for Dave, I mean, if you start really stacking up, like, I mean, if we were power ranking of the three of us most likely to know their questions, I would say, yeah. I mean, I got a hockey question. You got a question about your number. But, damn, that's a question about a different team, though. That's what amazes me.
I think Chris deserves a lot of credit for being secure enough in himself to not research who wore his jersey number after he left the team, to not know. I think Chris deserves a little bit of respect for
I'm
that.
A man of integrity. Santi, I appreciate you acknowledging that. Man of integrity.
Once he's gone, he's gone.
I don't have the Google gimp. Handcuffed me under the desk like Dave does.
Someone's wearing 99 after Chris Canning. Disrespectful.
I can't believe they didn't retire the number.
I ain't say you guys got to take it that far.
Super Bowl.
That's what we
just
do.
Just saying.
That's what we do.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.